John chapter 17, and we come to the last two verses of this great high priestly prayer that we have been looking at in the mornings usually, but I want to conclude the study on it, and therefore we're looking at these last two verses tonight. Verse 25 and 26, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. The conclusion to our Lord's Prayer. You've often heard that the disciples' prayer in the Gospels, Our Father which art in heaven, has a preface, a middle, and a conclusion. And this prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ is something like that. It has a preface, it has a main body, but we come now to the conclusion of the prayer. The closing address, if you like, to the Father. And notice how reverently again he addresses his Father. Righteous Father. He's soon to be put into the hands of unrighteous men. He's soon to be nailed to the cross in unrighteousness. But as he leaves his Father, he just remembers that he's righteous. And it's good to remember that in all the unrighteousness that we face in this world, that God is righteous. So he calls him Righteous Father. I want you to notice the prominent theme in the text. It's knowledge. Righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. So the word known occurs three times, and that's really the sort of the central theme, and we can revolve our study around that kind of idea of knowledge. Knowledge. There are four things about this knowledge. First of all, the person it is about. And then secondly, the possession of this knowledge. And then thirdly, the passing of this knowledge onto others. And then lastly, the purpose of this knowledge. The person it is about, this knowledge. Now, of course, whenever the Lord talks about this knowledge, he's talking about the knowledge of God. Because he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. So the knowledge that we're speaking about is not earthly knowledge. It's not mathematics. The Lord Jesus isn't talking about mathematics or science or geography. He's talking about the knowledge of God. The Bible wasn't given to us to become a mathematical book. And Jesus Christ didn't come to make us science professors. Jesus Christ didn't come into the world, and he didn't give us the Bible to make us mathematicians. Christianity is not about getting degrees. It's not about scholarship. It's not about earthly knowledge at all. Jesus came and Jesus gave us the Bible so that we would have the knowledge of God. Heavenly knowledge, spiritual knowledge. The world hath not known thee. So the Lord's talking about spiritual knowledge and understanding. The knowledge that comes from above. The knowledge that cannot be discovered by human sciences. Cannot be discovered in a laboratory, cannot be discovered in a microscope. It is knowledge which is above and beyond us. God must reveal himself. And God must impart to us this knowledge of himself. Nature doesn't give it. Now, of course, nature does reveal something about God's majesty. I'm not denying there is a natural revelation. But nature was made before sin. Nature came first, and then sin entered into it, So nature does not reveal the knowledge that we need to be saved. Because when nature was made, there were no sinners. Creation found a sinless world. Sin entered into it. So nature doesn't teach us the knowledge of God that we need to be saved. It doesn't tell us anything about God's mercy. It doesn't tell us about how God forgives our sins. It doesn't reveal God's grace. And not only is nature insufficient to teach us the knowledge of God, sin has made us blind, and it's made our hearts biased, and it's made our hearts darkened so that we don't even want the knowledge of God. And so you see, the knowledge of God is given to us by Jesus Christ and by his word and by the Bible. So we're talking about the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God the Father, and also the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. You remember how the prayer started off about that? How the Lord said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Verse 3, that's how the prayer started off, that they might know thee. And now the Lord Jesus, as he concludes, he's talking about the very same thing, knowing thee and knowing me. It is the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we are speaking about tonight, the person of whom this knowledge is about. But then I want you to notice, secondly, the possession of this knowledge. You'll notice how, first of all, negatively, the Lord states who doesn't possess this knowledge. He says, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee." So there is the absence of this knowledge. It's absent from the world. And that's a fact. This is a fact the Lord Jesus is stating. The world hath not known thee. The world does not have the knowledge of thee. The world cannot comprehend God. The world is ignorant of God. That's what Jesus says. Now the world has been advancing. It has been progressing. It has made many discoveries. It's getting smarter and smarter. But it is still not getting the knowledge of God. In fact, probably there's more atheism today than there has ever been, despite all the advance in knowledge, despite all the universities. The places of education are filled with atheism. The world still doesn't know God. This is still true. Nothing has changed. This knowledge is not possessed by the world. No man knoweth the Father. That's what Jesus said on another occasion. No man knoweth the Father. What did Paul say? The world by wisdom does not know God. With all its earthly wisdom, with all its telescopes, with all its technological advances, the world still by its wisdom doesn't know God. Hasn't discovered God and knows nothing about him. In fact, the world doesn't even want the knowledge of God. It leaves the Lord out. That's why he's not in the news. You ever hear the news? They never talk about God. And yet God is the main person in the news. Providence. Nothing happens without God. And when things happen, we have to ask why the Lord allows them to happen. And yet God is never mentioned in the news. They don't have the knowledge of him. They do their journalism and their investigations, but they don't have the knowledge of God, and they don't even want to know about him at all. You know how one of the politicians says we don't do God, and that's true. They don't. They don't even want to know him. They don't even want to mention him. He's the unmentionable in the news. He's not part of it at all. So the ignorance of God is in the world. And that's the main reason behind the persecution of Christians. And that's the main reason why the Lord Jesus Christ was treated the way that he was treated. They didn't know God. The Pharisees and the religious leaders with all their religion, they didn't know God. Remember how Jesus said, all of these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, for they don't know my Father. That's why they'll do them. They don't know God, and that's why they treat you the way that they will treat you. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father or me. It's ignorance of God that leads to the persecution of saints. And so the world does not have this knowledge. But positively, the Lord Jesus tells us where this knowledge is found. Because he says, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And so the Lord Jesus states, fact one, the world doesn't know thee. Fact two, I do. I know thee. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has this knowledge perfectly, completely. He possesses it. You remember how the book of John starts with that fact, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. So he was the one who was with God in the beginning and in eternity. He was face to face with God. He was equal with God. He was there. He knows the Father. He knows him perfectly because he knew him before the world was. I have known thee. Remember how this says later on in John chapter 1, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the bosom Son. He knows the Father, and he proclaims the Father. And so the Lord Jesus knows God perfectly and completely and absolutely. I have known thee. That is no lie. That's the truth. And the Lord Jesus often said that. And this is the thing that sets him apart from all men. He's often saying this. He says, I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. That's what Jesus said. Nobody else ever talked like that. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. As the Father knows me, how does the Father know Christ? He knows him perfectly. He knows him completely. And as he knows me, in that same manner, I know him. I'm from him. I was with him. I've been sent from him. I come from above. I'm from his presence. I know him. And so Jesus has this perfect knowledge of God. Remember how he also said, ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I do not know him, I'd be a liar like unto you. That's what he said. I'd be a liar if I said I didn't know him. I do know him. So the Lord Jesus then refers to the knowledge that he has. But then the Lord, thirdly, he not only talks about the absence of this knowledge in the world and how he himself possesses it completely and perfectly, but he also talks about the knowledge of his sheep. I have known thee and these. Now, who are these? Well, there are those that he's been praying for, all his people, all have been given to him, all that he desires to be with him in eternity. That it gaze upon his glory, these that he's praying for, he says, I have known them, and these, he says, these have known that thou hast sent me. So the sheep, they don't have perfect knowledge of the Father, but they have this knowledge. They know that you have sent me. They know that. They have that knowledge. So the sheep and believers, they know that Jesus Christ is the sent one. They know that they do not know God the way they should. They know that they need to know more about God. But this they do know, that Jesus Christ has been the one he sent. They know that. That's the knowledge that they possess. That's the starting point for the sheep. They have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their great prophet and their teacher. They know that he has been the sent one. They know he's a Messiah. They know he's been sent by the Father. They possess at the very basic, this much of the knowledge. And every Christian has this knowledge that Christ is unique. That Jesus Christ was not born like other men were born. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That Jesus Christ came into the world the way no other man came into the world. He's the sent one. He is the Son who has been given. He is the Messiah. And that knowledge is so central to the Christian faith. So fundamental. You know, if you just think that Jesus is just an endowed man. And then there are a lot of liberal people that think that. Oh yeah, Jesus was well above his time. He had such ideas and such thoughts that, you know, well beyond his time, and he was born out of time. And the, you know, all these kind of grand things that they say, and they never make Jesus anything more than a mere man. The liberal Christ, an ordinary man with great insight, an ordinary man born like others and lived like others and died like others, but he has some super thoughts. That's the liberal Jesus. But the Jesus that is revealed in his prayer life and in the text is a Jesus who knows God, who has come from God, and who brings to us the knowledge of God. He is not a mere man. And if that's all you believe about Jesus Christ, that he's just new and died with some super thoughts, then you're not a Christian. If you just think Jesus is just a man like others, only, you know, super brain, you're not a Christian. These believe that thou hast sent me. These know that I have come from thee. So they have this knowledge that he is the sent one. Sheep, the sheep that he prays for, have conviction about his person and about his work. You remember how earlier on in verse 8 he said, I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely. They've not only known, they've known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed thou didst send me. So they know that that he has come out from God as the only begotten of the Father, and they believe that he has been sent by God. And they know that surely. These have known that thou hast sent me. While it is true that Christians don't know the Father the way they would like, and while it is true they don't know the Father the way the Savior knows him, they know this, that their Savior is from the Father, and he brings them to the Father, and he teaches them all the knowledge of the Father that they need to know. The knowledge possessed. That brings us on to the third point, the passing on of this knowledge. While it is true that the world does not have the knowledge of God, while it is true Jesus Christ has the perfect knowledge of God, and while it is true Christians don't know the Father the way they can do and should do and will do as time passes, they have a Savior they know has come from God, and they know he will teach them the knowledge of God. That he will pass it on. And that's why he came, to pass on the knowledge of God. He came that this fallen world might know God. He came to bring us into the presence of God so that we would know him truly, that we'd have a relationship with him, that we would no longer be in darkness and in ignorance. The light has come into the world. John chapter 1, the light has come into the world. It's not John the Baptist. It's Jesus, the light of the world. So he comes to pass on this knowledge, and thus he says, the world have not known thee, I have known thee, these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name. I'm giving them that knowledge. I'm passing that knowledge on by declaring you, my Father, my righteous Father, unto the sheep. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is telling his Father, I have faithfully passed on the knowledge of God. I have declared unto them thy name. And so he's telling himself, he's telling the Father that he's done, he's been faithful. I've done it, I have. I alone have done it. There's nobody else could do it. There was nobody else who was with you, Father. There's no one else came from you, but I know you, and I have faithfully revealed you unto my sheep. Now, it took time to do that with the disciples. It took time and effort and labor to declare the name of God, to preach it and to teach it and to convey it by word to them, the knowledge of God. He did that. That's what Jesus Christ did. He is a declaration of God. He declares God at Calvary. He declares God at the cross. He declares God at Gethsemane. He declares God in his miracles. He declares God in his righteous life. He says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I'm the declaration of God. Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you don't know the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He's the image of God. He's the declaration of God. If we want to get the knowledge of God, we look and study Jesus Christ, and we listen to Jesus Christ. We listen to his declaration. If you want to know God, you have to listen to Jesus Christ. If you want a closer walk with God and a deeper acquaintance with him, you have to get closer to Jesus Christ and listen to him and his gospel. And so he has declared and revealed the Father. And because the sheep know he has been sent by the Father and he's come from the Father, and they know that he has perfect knowledge of the Father, the sheep listen to him. And they get the knowledge of God from him. Men and women, we cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. That is why Judaism is wrong. That is why Islam is wrong. I am the way. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the mediator. He is the bosom son who became incarnate that he might bring us to God and lead us into the knowledge of the Most High. Jesus Christ alone declares unto us this knowledge. He alone passes it on. There is no one else. He does it himself. Remember how he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot know the Father except the Son of God reveals him to you. And you cannot know God if you neglect, ignore, despise, or reject Jesus Christ. The passing on of the knowledge is by him. We know that the Son of God has come, John said, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him. That is true. John says the Lord Jesus has come and he has given us the understanding. The liberals don't like that. That's the true Christ. That's the Christ in the Bible. He's given us an understanding that we may know God. He's worked in our hearts and in our minds. I have declared unto them thy name. He has passed on the knowledge of God. He gave it to Matthew. And Matthew could write the gospel. He gave it to John and he gave it to Peter. He gave all the apostles this understanding, this knowledge of God that the world, even the Pharisees with all their religion, did not possess. He passed it on and he did it faithfully. And so faithfully that he's able to look his Father in his face and says, Father, I have declared to them your name. Henceforth, he says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And we're so glad we have the Gospels and all these words of Jesus where he declares unto us the knowledge of God. But notice something interesting. The Lord Jesus says, I have, past tense, I have declared unto them thy name. But notice this, he doesn't intend to stop. He says, and will declare it. That is, will continue to declare it, will keep on declaring it. So the Lord Jesus here makes a promise. He here makes a solemn vow to his Father, his righteous Father. He not only declares his faithfulness in having revealed his name in the past, he covenants and he promises and he swears here to declare it still in the future and will declare it. I'll keep on doing that. You know, he hasn't got long to live. He's only another night. But he's intending keeping on declaring the Father's name. He knows that he will live. He knows that he'll be raised from the dead. He knows that he'll be at the right hand of the Father. He knows he'll be sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he knows, till the end of time, he will keep that declaration ongoing in the hearts and lives of his people. I will declare it. I tell you, the devil will not stop that. And the Pharisees and the Romans, no matter how hard they hammer the nails into his hands and into his feet, no matter about it, he will continue to declare his Father. He will continue to reveal and manifest God unto sinners. He makes a solemn promise then and a holy vow, a vow he has kept for 2,000 years. And that's why you're here tonight. And that's why you're a Christian. Because Jesus Christ has declared to you the Father. He's revealed him to you. He has brought you to him, you that are saved. And he will continue to do that until the very last day, whenever all his children will be gathered around him. And even throughout all of eternity, he will still continue to manifest to us the infinite, unsearchable glories of his Father. And so he promises to be the undying, never-ceasing, only prophet of the church. Muhammad does not say this. Muhammad cannot say this. Islam's prophet does not pray like this. Islam's prophet is still in the tomb. Islam's prophet, yes, maybe one day he did declare Allah, but his declaration has ceased because he is dead. But Jesus Christ lives. He's the living prophet who declares to us in our hearts by his Spirit the knowledge and the name of his Father. He lives on and he declares on and he fulfills the prophecies which say, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. He will do it. That's what he said. Psalm 22, that psalm of the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And when he rose from the dead, that's what he did. He declared his name, the name of his Father unto his brethren. I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God. And for 2,000 years, by his word and by his Holy Spirit, he has still been making this declaration. The true prophet, the only prophet of the church, our prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ. He does that by his word and by his Spirit. And whenever we meet here every Lord's Day, Jesus is among us. And as his word is preached and as his ordinances are ministered, he himself is declaring unto us the name of God. And we have that declaration in these holy living oracles. And so you see how important Jesus Christ is. Do you see how important it is to listen to his word? Do you see how important it is to study the Gospels? Do you know what he has come to do and why he came? And have you come to him and do you trust him? And are you depending upon him to give you that perfect relationship with God and that true knowledge of him? It's only Jesus brings you into that acquaintance,
Because this knowledge is more than head stuff. It's a relationship. It's a relationship knowing a person. And it's Jesus Christ that brings you into that relationship with God.
Then lastly, the purpose of this knowledge. We've seen the person that's about God. We've seen the possession of it. We've seen the passing on of it. I want you to notice the purpose of the knowledge. Why does God give us the knowledge of himself in Jesus Christ? Why does Jesus Christ declare to us this knowledge? You will see here that the Lord is conveying this knowledge for a purpose. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that, this is purpose, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's why he declares and passes on the knowledge of God, that love might be in them, and that I might be in them. This is the grand height. This is the grand conclusion of this prayer. This is the pinnacle. Your love in them, and I in them, I dwelling in them, living in them. This isn't Muhammad talking. This isn't a mere man talking. This is mighty stuff. He gives us knowledge not to fill our heads with knowledge merely. He gives us knowledge not to make us proud and self-righteous and look down on others. He gives us this knowledge not to make us ignorant and uncaring and unkind, but he gives us this knowledge to make us godlike, to make us Christlike. If the only effect of our knowledge of God is that we are proud and despise others and are self-righteous, if that's the only effect of the knowledge of God, then we need to pray, Lord, give me the true knowledge of thee that fills me with love and fills me with Jesus Christ. If this knowledge just makes us self-righteous, unloving and unkind and unholy and just merely orthodox, then we don't have it. And may God have mercy on us and truly impart it to us by his grace. This knowledge is in order to the love of God in our hearts and souls, that love may fill us. I've declared unto them thy love, that the love with you has loved me, that it might be in them, that they might love like you love, that they might be filled with all the fullness of divine love in their hearts. The love that you have for me, a great love, an endless love, an unstained love, a selfless love, the love that you have for me, that it might be in them. And I declare and preach you, Father, and I reveal you, and I bring them into your presence that they might know you, that you might fill them with that love. And this is the height to which he's praying for his people. So the knowledge is in order to that. God loves. In fact, the Bible says God is love. To know him is to know that. And to know him as loving is to become loving. The knowledge of God should make us like God. And God is love. So a Christian should know something of love. Love. You see, the Pharisees only had spite and malice and hatred and self-righteousness. And that's why Christ suffered at their hands, because that was the height of their knowledge of God. It did nothing to their hearts. It made them crucify Jesus. They didn't know him. But to know God is to know love, for God is love. And so the Lord Jesus here is speaking about the essential place of love in his people's hearts and life. This is how he's finishing this prayer. And so often he told them that you love one another as I've loved you and as the Father's loved you. And so he's praying specifically for love to fill their hearts. Someone has said, I've written it down here, take love from holiness and you have self-righteousness. Take love from truth and you have bitter orthodoxy. Take love from mission and you just have conquest. Take love from unity, and all you have is tyranny. And that's true. That's why we read 1 Corinthians, the The greatest of these is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God.
John has studied this prayer, you know. He that loveth not does not know God, for God is love. And so you see, that's the purpose of this, of knowing God. But this love is not all that is to indwell the believer. It's not alone the last words. The words with which Jesus finishes this prayer. I in them.
Is Jesus Christ in us? Is he dwelling in us? This loving Savior who reveals to us and brings us to a loving Father. Is he in us? He needs to be in us. Christ in you, a hope of glory. There's no other hope. I in them.
That's how Christ finishes the prayer. That's what he wants. This union and communion to be in his people. To be his, enjoying his people and his people enjoying him. Abiding in them and they abiding in him. Oh, child of God, abide in Christ. Get more and more of the fullness of Christ in you. More and more of the communion, the enjoying of the communion that you have in your union to Jesus Christ. I in them. So listen to Christ. Listen to Christ preaching. Come to him for the knowledge of God. This is what Jesus desires. Let me have this, he says to his Father. Let me have this. And I desire no more. I in them. Imagine that's what Jesus desires. How he finishes this prayer. I in them. It's a mystery. I can't even preach on it. I hardly even know what it means. But Jesus knows what it means when he prays for it. And we can experience it. Matthew Henry said, there's no getting into the love of God but through Christ. Nor can we keep ourselves in that love but by abiding in Christ. That is, having him to abide in us. Nor can we have the sense and apprehension of that love but by our experience of the indwelling Christ. That is, the Spirit of Christ in our hearts. It is Christ in us that is the only hope of glory. Are you trusting in him? Do you see that he leads you to God? Do you see that there's no one else but him? Are you like Peter? Lord, to whom can we come? You alone have the words of God. You alone reveal God. You alone are the way to God. I cling to you, dear Savior. I trust in you to give me this knowledge. I trust in you to bring me to the Father. I trust in you to indwell me and infill me with your love. I in them. Let us pray. Lord, bless the word. Oh, bless the word to us, Lord. And fulfill the word in our experience. And that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And thy love indwelling us and filling us, overflowing us. Teach us to love, for thou art love. Please, for Christ's sake. Amen.